Good afternoon, my dear brothers and sisters. Today is December the 6th, 2008. We are having our mindfulness day. This is the last mindfulness day of the year. I'm very happy to see all of you attend the mindfulness day before you enter so many parties and activities during the Christmas and the New Year holidays. We almost having our Christmas celebration and the New Year. And when we go back and to recognize and look back the whole year, and we should realize how far have we go in our practice. Because the Buddha taught us every day in the practice we should be move on. Otherwise, the step we stepped last year, and when we look back this year, we're still in the same spot. So we should diligently in the practice. Our practicing is to maintain our inner peace, inner happiness and joy. Because if we are unable to have the peace, the happiness within us, and we are unable to do anything for others. So if we want to offer the peace, the joy, the happiness to others, first we must cultivate that kind of positive energy in us. We should diligently to overcome our obstacles. Because if we look, we can see that many obstacles in life, they try to prevent our steps, our moving forward. And if we are not mindful, if we are not strong, maybe a small obstacle can have the capacity, can have enough energy to prevent us and to make us feel that like the end of the world. Because we do not have enough positive energy, the energy of the Dharma, the energy of the Sangha, the energy of the Buddha in us. So practicing is to gain the energy. It's the same as when you tire in your body. Then you should take a rest. Because if you have no rest, you cannot do anything. Let's say if we have lack of sleep, our head is headache, dizzy,
We cannot think, we cannot do anything, and we are very easy to get mad, to get upset if someone come and, you know, surround us and bother us. But if we have enough sleep, we are very well, we can do a lot of things. Only lack of sleep, it can pull us down that way. And can you think if the mind is not well, what happened? A lot of things will be down too. So when I do the guiding meditation or the guiding total relaxation, I say that allow your body, allow our body to rest peacefully, firmly on earth. And when we come to the practice center, we allow the energy of the practice go through our body and the mind. Like the sound of the bell. Before we start our Dhamma talk, we used to invite three sounds of the bell. And what do you do? What do we do when we sit there? Wandering our mind? No. When we hear the sound of the bell, we go back, sit straight with our comfortable posture, then go back to our conscious breathing. Breathing in, I feel peace. Breathing out, I'm happy. Allow the sound of the bell move you from the wandering into the calming and peace and joy. Breathing in, I'm very happy. I can hear the sound of the bell. Breathing out, I feel calm, my body and the mind. So the three sounds of the bell before the Dhamma talk is like the voice of the Buddha. Call us back. It's like the voice of Jesus. Call us back. Calm us down and get ready to receive the talk. We used to call the teaching of the Buddha is like the Dhamma ring. Dhamma ring, Dhamma milk. Because why we use the milk as an example? Because the teaching of the Buddha have enough vitamins to nourish us, to heal us, and to remove us from the deck of suffering, passing across and go to the destination of peace, of happiness. When we come to the Dhamma talk, or when we turn on the CD to listen to the Dhamma talk, we should do the same. When you hear the sound of the bell invited in the disc, you also relax yourself. But of course, when you are driving and you're listening to the Dhamma talk and you hear the sound of the bell, you also keep driving, not relax your hands and let the car run by itself. Okay? So we must learn that with our insight. When you are home, you can relax that way. But you are driving, you can relax in different way. You relax your thinking. Go back. You are driving. You are listening to the talk. We as human, we always searching for something called happiness. That's why you are knocking on the door of all religions. You come to the spiritual practice in order to gain the inner peace. In the last few days, around this time, around 2 o'clock, we have a Caucasian girl who came here. And every time when she come, she go down to the kitchen and ask for some tea. And she makes some tea. She put on the disc, on a plate. And with a tea light, an apple, a cup of tea, she bring to the altar, she offered to the Buddha. She offered the incense, and she go back to the back hall. She sits there quietly and cry. One day I step out, I come to her and I say, "What's happening? Can you share with me?" And she say, "No, I just want to cry." I say, "Okay, if you feel that you need to cry, go ahead and cry. Cry as much as you can, because I know that after you cried, you will be fine. You will be relieved. You will be more lighter. And if when you are ready to share with me, I'm here to listen. But if not, you think that nobody for you to share, I tell you a place. Go to the front. Meet the Buddha. Burn the incense on. Sit there and talk to the Buddha. He will sit peacefully and listening to you attentively." And lately, every day she came here around this time. I have a professor from NATE. He also come here every afternoon. And he find a spot in the meditation hall and sit for an hour. We do not talk. When I meet him, he meet me, we all bow to each other, and he silently walk to the hall and sit. And what is that? When you feel that we need that, then we find a place. When you feel that this weekend you need a mindfulness day, you come to the mindfulness day. And the whole day, this day, is only a day, but it has the capacity to nourish us, to heal, to calm us down. And that is why the word practicing is possible. Practicing means to cultivate. Anything we are not yet gaining it, we are not yet there, we should cultivate. We come to Buddhism, we come to Catholic, we come to Christian, or we just want to have something different. We feel very tired with the outside world. That's why we find a place like this. And remember, the Buddha's teaching is to encourage us to open the mind, open the heart, accept the problems, accept the difficulties. But once you accept them, you already relieve part of your suffering. Because only when you accept, you will find a way to help, to transform, and to heal it. So only when you accept you are sick, then you will accept the treatments. If you say, "I'm not sick, I'm okay," then you never heal, because nobody knows what you want. So practicing Buddhism is going back to cultivate the insight, using the light of mindfulness to shine clearly on each of our situations. We have problems, we know about the problem. We're happy, we know they're happy. We go back and to reflect on the root of our suffering. No running. We don't need to run anywhere, because we cannot escape the sun. We cannot step out of this planet. Everywhere, there is good people, there are bad people. Everywhere, all situations, you have problems you have to deal with. Even you are the lay practitioner or you are the monastics, you have to deal with these daily problems. Big or small, it depends on how we name it. Based on the level of accepting and transformation. No mud, no lotus. The lotus only can be grow up beautifully right in the mud. The transformation is only possible with the problems. If no problems, how can we learn how to transform? No garbage, you cannot do anything to have compost. And no compost, no flowers. That's the truth. So dealing with problems doesn't mean to make us feel suffer, but to make us stronger on this life. When you have enough energy, you can jump, you can walk over, you cross over the little hole, the little pond, that obstacle you're driving away. Not because of that and you go back. As I mentioned that many times. Like our temple. There's only way to go to this temple is the back alley. Because we don't have the way to exit in the front. So you have to turn your car in this alley. And you know the back alley have lots of holes. And not because of that and you move your car back home. You're willing to cross over because the destination you want to come is the temple. Same thing. The Buddha say the same as people entering the war. If they strong enough, they will move up and they will victor. They will win. If they go back, they lose. Practicing is like looking at the mirror. If you realize your face is clean, you're happy. If your face is dirty, you clean it up. Easy and simple. And reality. When we realize that in us we still have lots of problems, there's nothing wrong. Because you know you have problems, that's why you will find way to help your problems. When you sit meditation, you feel that your mind wandering a lot. That's not a problem. That's good because you can recognize you are wandering. That means you start to have some calmness. You start to have some insight. That's why you can see your mind is running. You are stopping, that's why you can see something is running. The same as today. In the past, I just think the recording machine can take all kind of CDs. And because we try so many different kind of CDs, and now we know one thing, temporary, this recording machine only take TDK disc. Not if the machine have no problems. We never know. This machine is very picky. So we are learning from that. So the Buddha taught there are four ways that we can practice to attain and to maintain the peace, the happiness, the joys for us. What are the four? First, the Buddha called practicing peacefully on your body. Practicing peacefully on your speech. Practicing peacefully on your mind. And practicing peacefully on your vows. The body, the speech, the mind, and the vow. Vow. First, contemplation on the body. The Buddha called dwelling in the place of action and closeness. Our daily behavior is very important because that is the basic of the communication. That is the basic to continue and to protect the happiness between us and others. What do we do? What can we do with that? We have to practice patience. Patience means to accept. Patience doesn't mean push yourself down, try very hard on something. No. Because if you cultivate your mind as big as the space, then you can accept everything. Patience like earth, thick and wide. You can accept clean water. The earth can take clean water. The earth can take dirty water. No discrimination. The patience of the practitioner is like that. People think patience is weakness. No, patience is not weakness. But the stand of moderation. Patience is the stance of moderation and restraint. Let example, this bell compared to this cup, big difference. So this cup only can take this much water only. But this bell can take 1,000 times compared to this cup. If you are this much, you only can take that much. If you are this much, you can take this much. So if our mind is a space, as the same as that space, we can take all kind of things. No fighting back. But you know that the patience will help a lot. Many times, you already break the communication. Your happiness collapses because you don't have enough patience. Why don't you learn from that? We already stepped on that. And luckily, we step out of that and we go continue. Then we should be careful. We should learn and transform our hot temper. Because our temper also can burn a lot of calories in us. Every time when you get angry, you burn a lot of calories in our body already. Further than that, we burn a lot of communication, of peace, of joy in our family. Remember, one big tree, one tree, can make into thousands of matches, but just one match can burn the whole forest. When you cut the tree down, you divide it into small pieces of sticks. You can do thousands of matches. But just one of that match can destroy the whole forest. It's very hard to create the merit, to gain the merit, but very easy to destroy, to damage all the merits that we attained. So for the person who practices on body, learn how to behave. How can we behave? Patience is number one. We also learn how to transform our pride in us. We're so proud of ours, sometimes it's not good. Because you will see people under you. You underestimate a lot of people. And that's why you cannot learn. Because we think we are better than that person. I can do better. The Buddha said, we do not try to force anyone to adopt our views. Besides that, we open our mind, our heart, and learn from others' views. We don't force anyone. That's why we have the practicing called the three learnings. Learning, reflecting, and practice. You learn, but you have an insight to reflect. Once you can reflect and that makes sense for you, then you go ahead and practice. Do not have the wrong view about things. We should cultivate the right view. Because if we have the wrong view, we will have the wrong behavior. If you have the right view for something, for someone, you will come to that person with your right action. So, contemplate on the body, the Buddha taught. Practicing on your body. First, about your action, how you act. Live harmony with others. You know, my name is Hoa. H-O-A with this accent, Hoa, means harmony. My name is Harmony. The Pháp in front, Pháp Hoa. Pháp means the way. So my name, if we translate into English, we will translate the way of harmony. Every one of us, when we come to the Buddhist practice, after we take the three refuges, our teacher will give us the name. And that name contains the practice. So every single name, they have the meaning in the practice. And why we should take that name? Because that name will become a friend of us. Every time when we do something, reflect, what is my name? My name is Harmony. So I should practice that anywhere I go. I should live harmony with people. I can make friends with people. Hoa, without the accent, just H-O-A, it means flower. And because you are the flower, you can let people decorate you anywhere they want.
You know, in Japan,
in the practice center, in the washroom, in the toilet, they put the flower vase there. Why? For us to contemplate, to meditate about, there is no dirty and beauty. Dirty and beauty is only one. We should cultivate about the right view, the right thinking. That's why we have a song, What is Real, What is True. If you can see that, the garbage and the flower is only one. You have no problem. You are free. I am free. I am free. Because I can see flower and the garbage is one. No garbage, no compost. No compost, no flower. No mud, no lotus. That's the rule. No suffering, I never know what is called happiness. And sometimes people cry, not because they suffer, just because they're so happy. But sometimes people cry a lot, they laugh. But what is that laughing? The crying without tears. Have you ever seen, or have you ever experienced about that for yourself? Sometimes things happening, you know, one after one. Sometimes they come at once. You cannot cry anymore. All you need to do is laugh. You laugh. But what is that kind of laugh? It replaces for your crying. So Vietnamese people say, sometimes, nụ cười là tiếng khóc khô không lệ. Your laughing, your smiling is the tear, the crying without tear. So because you are the flower, so you don't have to, you just be the flower. That's good enough. No matter people decorate you. In the meditation hall, in the dining hall, even in the washroom. Because you are beautiful, that's why they use you as a decoration. That's why we have this accent, mean hoa. Hoa means flexible. Because you are the flower, that's why you can be flexible. And if you're able to be flexible in that way, you are hoa, flower. And if you don't know how to practice on that, you will get mad when people use you wrong way. You will get angry. Angry means hỏa. Hỏa means fire. If we have the question mark on the top, it means fire. But once it becomes the fire, of course, underneath of an O, there will be a little dot right here. It will be hỏa means problems. See, life is only one accent. It depends on how we see things, how we view things. Can you see what I mean? H-A-I, high. High means two. But high also can mean comedy, laughing. People have a lot of jokes. If you don't know how to joke, you can dot underneath high mean harmful. Life is only one accent. Here, tu mean practice. But you don't know, in the practice, you come to the practice, that means you do. But if you cannot flexible in your practice, you become tù. Tù means prison. In jail. You in the jail of the practice. You stick with what you learn. Do you see what I mean by that? You cannot move on in your practice because you stick with what you learn. And sticking with what you learn is not the way of the Buddhism. Free yourself from the learning. It's because at that moment you are the doctor. Same medicine, same Tylenol, but with the children under 12 only half of the pill. And if you see someone give half of the pill, you say, you are not knowing anything about medicines. No. Because the children cannot take the whole pill of 500 milligrams. You see what I mean by that? We are the doctor. We are the pharmacist. We know what's wrong, how, what level, what age of each of the body in order to give medicines. And if you are the real practitioner, we're flexible on that. Some people come to the temple. They are very tu, very practiced. But the more they practice, the more they in jail, the more they tu. Because they cannot, they stick too much with their learning. You do wrong, and how about yourself? You are wrong too. What is your wrong? What is your problem? You are busy pointing many people's faults. And your fault is pointing to someone else's faults. Practicing on your body is like that. Patience, harmony. Vietnamese people used to say, when your husband gets angry, then you should be the one who calms down. The same as when you are cooking. And the spoiling, if the cooking is boiling, you should adjust the fire, the flame. Otherwise, everything will spill out. We do the same as home. We do the same in the practice center. The second thing about the body is get associated with others. When we are associated with others, we should choose. Because some friends able to encourage us, support us, but some friends only spoil us, never help. Then because we are not that strong yet, we are weak, we are looking for someone that we can take refuge for temporary in the path, on the path, then find the one that able to help you. The Buddha say, find the one to get close to. Because someone, if you get close to, you never learn. I told the novices a lot of times, when I give them a ride to the school, I say, don't learn bad things from your friends, okay? If they ask you to do something wrong, don't listen to them. If you have problems with your friends, go and talk to your teacher. If you're unable to talk with them, find your teacher. And if your friends tell you to do something wrong, to hurt that person, in order to pay back what you mean that they hurt you, that is not the right way. You can imagine the children here, our children, they are not close to us much. Because after 8 hours at work, they also have 8 hours at school. When they back home, eat, watch TV, do homework, go to bed. We also very tired. We cook, we clean, we take shower, and we always want to find some rest. Not much time to get close to them. And sometimes what we teach them, they don't feel right. Because they feel that the level, the time, us and them is different. So, practicing peacefully on the body, the Buddha taught us two ways. What is that? About the acting and about the associated with others. I have a lady who is a translator, an interpreter. She never swear. But one day she worked, she translated, she was an interpreter for someone who every single word they speak, they were swearing. Those words go through her mind somehow, she never know. One day she is driving, and there was a man who drive past her without stopping. They almost got into an accident. She hit on the balance and she swear. Right in the moment, after that moment, she awake. She say, "What happened to me? I never learned this word. I never say this kind of word, but how come today? It accidentally, naturally come from my mind, and it make me speak that." She realized one thing. Because I associated with the other person who's wearing a lot. So the Buddha understands we are very easily to get influenced by others. And especially bad things. Good things, hard. But bad things, easily. Do you agree about that? You know, asking you to sit for sitting meditation for 30 minutes is like a whole day. But if asking you sit in front of the television to watch television, you can watch whole day. No problems. You see that? Chinese and Vietnamese, they like to watch Chinese movie. And Chinese movie is like a set of 100 tapes. 30 tapes. And each tape contains 54 minutes. They can sit there and watch one after one, no problem. They can refuse eating, refuse sleeping. But asking them, sitting down and recite the Buddha's name for 10 minutes, they say, "No, I can't. Let me wait until I get older." You see? Watching TV is nothing bad. Not, you know, it's not a sin. But we can see between, you know, the practice and the non-practice. We willing to choose the non-practice one. Based on that, we can tell how was our mind. So we should master this mind all the time. By what? By contemplating on this. Using the light of mindfulness and shining to it. We don't associate with people who have the wrong livelihood. I have the two gentlemen, very young. They're just making friends with the wrong livelihood friends. They're selling drugs. And one day they in the same vehicle. They was caught by the police. And they were in the jail even though they don't do anything. But because they're in the same car with the sellers, then they think you are same group. So wrong livelihood. But remember one thing. The Buddha, in Buddhist practice, we don't want you, the practitioner, to misunderstand that. Refuse them. You know, push them. No, we don't do that. We realize them, who they are. When we meet them, you know, respect, talk, but we don't, you know, join them and get, you know, very friendship with. You don't have to do anything to push them away, because that is not the practice. So in the 10 vows of Samantabhadra, and the first one, respect all Buddhas. Second one, praising the Buddha. You can see, respect means you should respect everyone equally. But praising, you only praise when people do good. Two different vows. Respect and praising. Basically, when you respect everybody, you should respect, even they are the killer, because they are the human, the same as us, we respect. But praising what they do, we don't praise. You see what I mean? For people who have the wrong livelihood, wrong intention, wrong views, don't learn from that. Violent people, we don't learn. The same as when we watch violence movies. No. Because violence movies only increase the violence in us. There are many people, many young people, they learn the ways to kill people all from the movies, from the violence movies. And we totally disagree with violence games, because that affects the children a lot. That affects the teenager a lot. So for the teenager, you are allowed to play game, but please do not play the violence games. You are allowed to watch movies, but find the movies that help you to learn, that bring you some lecture, some learning. There are lots of movies. You can watch comedy movies, make you laugh, it's okay. But some movies totally not healthy for the body and the mind. This is my message, my address for the teenagers. Whenever I have the retreat for the teenagers, for the youth, I also mention about that. Repeat and repeat. We feel, we realize, we know, we are aware that we are not that well. We are not that healthy. We are not that strong, and we try not to associate with those things. That is the first practicing on the body. The second practicing peacefully is on our speech. The conversation is very important too, because that is the main thing also in our daily life. But we should learn the right speech. One day I taught one of my novices, when you eat, you choose a good food. You know how to find, you know, the food that you like to eat. Then when you talk, when you speak, you should also find the good ways to speak. You know how to select the food that you like, then you should know that people the same, they always want to select the good words that they want to hear. You too. Sometimes our speech can bring harmony, peaceful to others, but sometimes totally destroy and damage the situation. In the family, we should learn the right speech. Even she is your wife, even he is your husband. And because you are husband and wife, you are not allowed to say anything that hurt each other. Vietnamese people used to say husband and wife are the friends on the path. We should respect each other. In the same thing in the practice center. If you go to the temple, you go to the church, and you don't learn this, then you also can create a lot of problems for the priest, for the pastors, for the monks there, because they have to step out and, you know, become the peacemaker between you and others. Very important, right speech. The third thing is cultivating peacefully, practicing peacefully on our mind. If the mind is not trained well, then the mind can become something very negative, such as jealous, hatred, ignorance, greed. Do not despise anyone. Even when you are good, someone will be better. And if you are better, someone will be the best. So don't think you are best. And you know, sometimes we think we are number one. And everyone is number one, it's become 11. That person is number one, then we have to be zero. That means I'm nothing. Two of us come together, we are number 10. Let people become number one. Let us become a zero. But, you know, zero is very valuable too. Because no zero, no add up. You see, 1,000, 3 0, million, zero, a lot of zeros at the back. More zero make more sense. That's we should practice and contemplate about that. 10, 100, 1,000, million, billion depends on the zero. People write a check, they forgot to add a zero at the back. You add a zero, the check will be different. So let us become a zero, but that zero is very beautiful. Do not give up in your practice, in your life, no matter how hard, how problems. Sometimes in the family, we contemplate about the children, then the husband and the wife will let go of the, you know, the wrongdoings that we can create for each other. That's how we practice. Sometimes thinking about your children, then the father and the mother will let go of the problems. They can make peace again. They can harmony again. Because the harmony environment nourish the children a lot. The disciples in the temple, if they can let go all the problems, and if they can contemplate about their teacher, and they can see that their fighting, their argument will hurt their teacher. And what they will do is they will let go, they will make peace again. And because they are making peace to each other, nourish the teacher a lot. when the novice just came to the temple, they don't know each other much, you know, and because they are young, very easy to disagree each other. And sometimes they keep silent, they don't talk. But I can see that. And one day I call both of them up and I say, this is not the healthy environment. And Thai is not happy lately. Even though both of you didn't say anything, in front of me, you show that you are brothers. You just equal on the surface. But you are unequal at the bottom. And I don't want to see that. And after I say that, I just silently walk upstairs. And both of them put on their robe and come and bow to me and say, Thai, we would like to confess. We would like to apologize on that. And they both bow down and they bow to each other. And since that, they are very brotherhood. When I see them play soccer together, they play hockey together, I'm very happy because I can see the brotherhood is right there. The brotherhood is right at the time they play soccer together. The brotherhood is when they can make breakfast together. Those small things become the vitamin, become something, nourish the teacher a lot. The children at home the same. If the brother, the sister can talk to each other, they become something very healthy to nourish their parents. And this year, 2008, almost finished. You can think about that. And if you already have problem with someone, let it go. Make peace with that person. Because you don't know what's happening for us tomorrow. A dead body cannot hear, cannot feel what you say, what you want. We do not need to discuss about how to save the beings. That's too big. It's a big project. How can we give a big Dhamma talk? We don't have to. What is our Dhamma talk? The way we come to each other. That is the live Dhamma, living Dhamma. Can we sit and eat together? If we can, that is the Dhamma that we give to our children. We allow the children to see how mother and father live peacefully together. Become something very strong in their mind. Because when the children grow up, the basic things they see will become something very strong in their mind forever. I know the girl who saw the father beat the mother since she was very young. And that become something very dark in her mind. Many years after the father and the mother divorced, and one day she met her father in the mall. She ran, because she still can see how mean her father, how violent he was, even many days ago. But that's still in her very strongly. So the mind, we need to be training a lot by getting in touch with possible things. Last week I talked with the seniors. When I step in, I see some senior very not happy. Because they say, they think, why they have to come here? And listening to this kind of orientation, this presentation, they don't want that. And in the whole group of seniors, I see one lady like that. I calm her down by saying, Grandma, just sit here for 10 minutes. And then you can go. You all can go. I only need 10 minutes to say a few things with you, to visit you, to see how is your life, how is your health. That's it. You can go back to your room and rest. And her face a little bit calmed down because she's still only 10 minutes. And I, during my speech, I say, you know, at an old age, sometimes you feel you are useless compared when you was young. But don't think about that. When you were young, you have done your best at your young age. When you get old, you should contemplate, you should see all your pleasures, your fortunates. What are they? You're getting old, but you are very happy because the government protects you a lot. They give you this senior lodge. They give you monthly fund. And you can see all the nurses here. They take good care for you. They cook for you. Because when you were young, you do everything for others. And now is the time for you to enjoy. See that kind of things in order to make you happy and enjoy. The nurses, they came here to work, of course, for their living. But beside that, they have a lot of compassionate too, because no loving, they cannot do this. So don't yell at them. Be nice to them so they're happy to take good care for us. Contemplate good things about your senior. Many people die soon, but no, I am 80 years old, I'm 70 years old, I'm still healthy. That is something pleasure. That is something fortunate. Even your legs get sore, but you still can walk. And see, you still have a walker. Is that the fortunate? So in our daily life, we can find the positive ways. To what? To look deeply in order to transform a lot of negatives in us. When you hit someone because you see all their bad side, but you want to love that person, easy. Contemplate about their good side. Sometimes they're smiling very beautifully. You know, this life, two sides. There are a lot of problems, but there are a lot of happiness too. In order to make you happy, think about the positives. A lot of them know how to sing, but now they lose their voice. They say, I'm old, I cannot sing as good as before. I say, okay, it's okay. Just sing. Sing your best, because singing, you know, allow yourself to express your happiness. And sometimes the songs come back and nourish you. For instance, when you sing a song, breathing in, breathing out, I am flower, I am blooming as a flower, then you can see you are the flower, fresh and beautiful. I am solid as a mountain. I am water reflecting. I am free. I am free. Contemplating, practicing peacefully on your vows. Your vows is different than your promise. Promise sometimes something forced you to be promised. Like if someone don't believe you, you will say, I promise. But what are the vows? Vows mean you're willing to do that. Because it's come from your heart. When you see that you do everything in your daily life, not because you have to, but because you like to. Practicing is like that. Practicing is changing the word in order to make you feel better. I like to do it. Then you will feel much, much better than to say, I have to do it. Have to do means something forcing you to. Like you come to the mindfulness day, you will say, I like to attend. I like to go. Nobody forced you. But with the kids, you ask them to come here and stay for the whole day. My mom asked me to do, and I have to go. I have to sit here. I like to practice. You never say, I have to practice. Yeah, if you have to, that means because you have something wrong with it. Your vow is like that. And because it is come from your heart, that's why you vow. And because of your vow, make your day, make your life, make your energy stronger, healthier. Right, like, I vow to open this mindfulness day for my brother and the sister, even though I'm tired, but I'm happy because I vow to do it. And they respond to my vow. They come here to attend with me. So even I'm tired, but I'm okay because it's come from my heart. I offer you my time, my day, my practice. You offer me your presence. You offer me your practice. You encourage me your practice. That is the vow. The vow helps you to cross over all the obstacles. Your vow will encourage you, will make you stronger on your path. If you love your family, you love your children, then you will do what? You will vow to apply about your body, that means about your action, about your behavior, about your speech, about your thinking, in order to become the real happy investment. The first three are the basic things for you to invest for your family. You vow to make your family better than now, then use the first three things. How to behave, who you should associate, I have some young kids, they told their father, Daddy, you work 6 days a week, you only have 1 day with us, why don't you go to the temple with us in the morning, and we have the dinner together in the afternoon. Why you go to a coffee shop with your friends? You can go, but just once a while. You don't have to spend a lot of time in those places, in the club. We want your presence. Your presence is a big present for us, a big gift. He very ashamed. He came and talked to me. He said, I am the father, but I am very ashamed. My children told me that. The children is very practical. They can see things. So when we have the vow in us, we can cross over many things. There was the student of Confucius. The student came and asked the teacher, and no, they present their admire to the teacher. They say, "Dear teacher, when we come to you, we learn a lot from you. But there are three things basically we are very happy to see that." You are the good model for us, the role model for us. They list out the three things about the teacher. First, When you see someone do one good thing, you're willing to forget their 100 wrong doings. That is hard. And we can see that you are a very easy person to get along. You're willing to let go. You're willing to forgive 100 wrongdoings of others by seeing them do one good thing. We learn that from you. When you see people do something good, you're never jealous, but you're happy along with you that what they have done. You are the person who are not jealous. We learn that from you. Very open person. Something very hard to do, but you never give up. You will try hard and your best. Never give up. You are a person very strong on the path. We learn these three things from you. Today, I share with you this story for the conclusion of the talk. We should learn these three things from this teacher. Learning this for what? To make our life more happy. And this is why we come to the practice. We come to the practice to learn and to apply what we learn in order to transform our past situations. If in right now we have a not happy situation, you come to the learning, and then you wish to find some way to transform your old situation. And if you feel you have transformed, that means you are successful in your learning and in your practice. Otherwise, we just have the name of the practice, but actually we are the non-practitioner. So today, I use this teaching of the Buddha about four ways on practicing to maintain the peace, the happiness, and the joy for us. That means the body, the speech, the mind, and the vow. When you have the vow, you will take these three things to make your vow possible. How to behave, how to associate, how to talk, how to think. Right action, right speech, and right thinking, right thought. These three right things become basically moderation, basically morality in our. You can take these three things, become the reality gift for your loved one in this Christmas season. You can give them the gift, the present, but more than that, offer them your practice. Thank you for your listening, and I hope that you enjoyed. Can we sing a song? Happiness is here and now. Happiness is here and now. I have dropped my worries. Nowhere to go, nothing to do. No longer in a hurry. Happiness is here and now. I have dropped my worries. Somewhere to go, something to do.
But no need to hurry.
You start to forget because you didn't sing this song quite long. You see, something influenced the mind already.
Happiness is here and now. I have dropped my worries. Nowhere to go, nothing to do. No longer in a hurry. Happiness is here and now. I have dropped my worries. Somewhere to go, something to do. But no need to hurry.
Please enjoy the three sounds of the bell. Allow the three sounds of the bell become the friends of our breath.